Thank you for joining today's SeniorLivingGuide.com podcast. I am your host, Arlene Mahoney. Please feel free to visit SeniorLivingGuide.com because we are your one-stop resource helping to take the stress out of searching for your next home, whether you may need active and independent living or even assisted skilled memory care or even looking to age in place right at home with some great home health and caregiving solutions. All these options are in one easy to navigate website. How easy and fabulous is that, right? Today, our guests are Dr. Pam Trinetti and Janet Rooks. Dr. Trinetti is an osteopathic physician who specializes in geriatrics. Janet Rooks is a social worker and a dementia care specialist. They work together at the Parish Senior Consultation Center where they focus on the care of patients with dementia. Dr. Trinetti is the Director of Aging Services at Parish, and Janet Rooks coordinates Parish Senior Solutions, which provides education, resources, and support for seniors and caregivers. Thank you so much for joining us, ladies.
Good morning.
So we're going to talk about something that is super hot topic right now, especially as we're going into winter and flu season and all kinds of different things. And, you know, clearly Corona is kind of a hot topic as well. We're going to talk about vaccines and immunizations. We're going to talk about specifically eight of them. So as we're talking about the coronavirus vaccine, what immunization should older people be getting now?
Well, and let's back off a little bit and say, why should older people need vaccinations? Because we think of it as, oh, kids go to get their shots. Yeah. But as we get older, our immune system slows down a little bit. It's a little weaker. And so we are more prone to flu and pneumonia. Pneumonia used to be called the old man's friend because that's what helped people pass along. Now we have immunizations for flu, for pneumonia, for tetanus, diphtheria, pertussin, hepatitis, now shingles. You know, some of these are pretty amazing to me.
Yeah, I didn't know there was an immunization for pneumonia.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is, that's like a news breaker for me. That's like super, so I'm super excited to hear more about that. So, and the fact that as you age, your immune system goes down a little bit. So if you maybe weren't getting some of these vaccines in the past, as you're aging, you might want to reconsider going ahead and doing them, especially this season.
Absolutely. And a lot of people will ask, like, well, wait a minute, what's the difference between a vaccination or an immunization? Because we remember getting vaccinated for smallpox. They scratched your upper arm, put something there, and then you get that little scab there. Now we just call it vaccination, immunization, inoculation. No matter how you slice it, what you call it, it's a preventive shot.
Right.
And for the most part, it's a dead virus that you're getting just a little, almost the best way to describe it is like a piece of it. So in theory, it shouldn't make you sick because it's not a live virus.
Right. So basically, that's what everybody talks about when they talk about having the antibody. Is that what you're referring to or no?
No, what happens is you give this little tiny piece of a virus and your body reacts to it. Okay. Your immune system responds and starts making antibodies
to
the virus.
Yeah. See? I just learned something. Yeah. There you go.
Two things.
Glad you asked.
I'm getting smarter.
Do a tally. Do a tally, darling.
See, this is what this is all about. Getting, you know, the information, understanding a little bit better. So what is, so we talked a little about the difference between a vaccination and an immunization. Because I think, you know, they are definitely interchangeable. And I think some people are separating them out. And we really kind of need to just kind of put them all in the same pot. So talking about a tetanus shot, one thing I was talking to you ladies about prior to even coming on here is I can't even remember the last time I had a tetanus shot. So what is a tetanus shot and why is it important?
Well, what's tetanus, Janet?
Well, it's one of those big words. Go ahead.
Lockjaw.
Oh, yeah, lockjaw. Tetanus is a lockjaw. We've all heard that. I mean, I grew up saying, you know, if you stepped on a rusty nail or was out in the yard and you cut yourself, you know, oh, we got to go get a tetanus shot. We don't want you getting lockjaw. And literally your jaws would lock. The muscles would constrict and you would get what they called lockjaw. And the tetanus shot was to prevent that.
Ow.
Because the tetanus, actually the tetanus is a bacteria, but it would cause such muscle spasm that you couldn't move your neck, you couldn't swallow, you couldn't chew. So, you know, 50 years ago, before we had IV nutrition and intubation and all the medications we have, you would die because you couldn't take in any nutrition. You were choking on your saliva.
Oh, my goodness.
And getting pneumonia. And now, lockjaw, tetanus, we can support the person if they get the acute infection.
But it's very, very rare for anyone to get it.
Because of the shots.
Because of the shot.
Yeah.
You know, it has been a decrease of 99% since 1947, to throw out some numbers.
Right.
And,
so,
you know, there's only been 50 cases since 1917. I mean, 1927.
But that's a bacteria infection.
Keep going, Janet.
Keep
going.
In 2017.
2017, okay. 33 cases, two deaths.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that's a bacteria infection. So that's not something that's contagious. So it's not that you have to worry about it being...
No, it's in your body.
It's in your body. Yeah. And it's from getting exposed to like a metal or wood or something of that nature?
The bacteria can live in dirt. They put a... they're in spores. So they're encased. So they can be, you know, rusty nails, old wood, gardens, manure, fields. So, if you're walking through the field, you cut your leg. Yes. And you can get the shot because it takes 3 to 21 days for it to really start kicking in. So...
But it's very important if you're out doing something like that, even if you're working, you know,
in the garden.
In the garden, and you cut yourself, you know, it, go to urgent care, go to your ER, talk to your provider, and get that checked. If you haven't had a tetanus shot in the last 10 years, get it done.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's once every 10
simple.
Years.
Yeah, so you can actually get the shot if you get the injury, and it will still avoid, you're still within that window.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's super nice. So is there anything else that's included in a tetanus shot?
Well, a lot of times if you read the label on tetanus shot, it'll say TD or TDAP. Now, TD has diphtheria vaccine in it.
Okay.
We never see diphtheria anymore.
Yeah, I don't even know what that is. That sounds like olden day stuff.
It was. 100 years ago, it was a killer. They described it as swallowing a blanket. So the little kids would get this thick, gray mucus and matter just choking them. So it was, you know, a killer of children. Little kids get diphtheria shots. Because although it's almost completely eradicated, we still want to protect them.
Right.
Now, the TDAP is... tetanus, diphtheria, pertussis. Janet, you remember pertussin?
The whooping cough.
The whooping cough.
Yeah.
I have heard of
the
that.
The whooping cough.
Okay. Now, that has been around. I mean, people have occasionally gotten the whooping cough, right?
Well, it's a killer of infants.
Yeah.
Small children.
Yes.
So in about 2005, they started telling grandparents, or if you work... Sunday school, nurseries, if you're an older adult, please get this shot to prevent you from spreading whooping cough to the little ones.
Yeah.
So if you're going to get a tetanus shot, say, hey, can I have the one with the pertussis?
Just get the combo pack.
It really is.
Yeah, and you sound like you're barking when you cough, if you got it.
Yeah, actually, it's like the cough, and then the inhale sounds like the whoop.
Yeah.
So it was very distinctive.
Okay, very interesting. So if these infants or small children get the whooping cough, is it something that is now more curable than it was?
Well, it's more treatable.
Treatable.
Again, because we have IV fluids and cough suppressants and mucus thinners. 2018, there were 15,000 cases. Again, mostly infants, toddlers.
Right.
So that is still around.
Okay. That's not the same as the croup, though, is it? When kids, because the croup has that same type of cough.
It's not.
It has a croopy cough. But
it has a croopy cough. Okay, yeah. I'm just curious about that. My daughter had the croup, and I was like, she didn't have a whooping cough, right? Clearly, that was a long time ago, but just thought of that. So the flu shot. clearly this is the time that everyone's talking and should be getting the flu shot, but not everyone goes and gets it. It is an annual shot versus a one and done. So mm-hmm. tell me why it's super important that seniors really consider the flu shot, and what are the benefits of the flu shot?
Well, it protects you from whatever the strand of the flu is at the time. And that's why you get one annually, mm-hmm. because the strand, the change, the, mm-hmm. the folks that are developing the flu shot, they study as to what the strand may be.
Okay.
It may lessen the effect of it if you do catch the flu, because you know, you'll hear, I've got the flu shot, why am I getting the flu? Mm-hmm. It's going to lessen the severity of it. And, you know, they recommend, they being the CDC, 6 months or older, get the flu shot annually. Mm-hmm. There's individuals that say, no, I'm not going to get the flu shot. It's not a live virus, mm-hmm. and that's why it's recommended.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. So what are some of the flu, there's some different types of flus, so do you know what some of those are this year?
Luckily,
I
went to big word school.
Okay.
So this year it's Guangdong, Moanan, Washington, Hong Kong, and Phuket.
Okay.
Some other, there's different brands that sell different types of flu shot. Some have a Hawaii strain in it. But this, again, this changes. Mm-hmm. Every year.
And they're all in one shot?
They are.
Okay, that's good mm-hmm. to know. You don't have to get one for each type.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
right.
That would not be any mm-hmm. fun. So basically, if you do have the shot and you are concerned about any type of side effects, you can just take something as simple as like an ibuprofen or something like that.
Yeah, your doctor's going to tell you what to do. You may have, mm-hmm. your arm may be sore. They're going to ask you which arm you know, is the dominant arm, move it around. But mm-hmm. It doesn't have a live virus, so you're not mm-hmm. going to catch the flu from getting the flu shot.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what if you're, like, immune-suppressed or anything like that? Is there different solutions, or just people that maybe undergoing cancer treatments or anything like that, are there different solutions for them that would be?
Generally, we will talk to the oncologist first. Mm-hmm. Most of the time they will say, yes, go ahead and please get that flu shot. Mm-hmm. But, you know, again, if you have a specialty physician who cares about you, mm-hmm. ask them first. It's not going to hurt. It's going to just take a minute to ask the question.
Yeah.
Now, seniors, we just talked about how their immune system is decreased. Mm-hmm. There's a special senior level flu shot that's actually four times the concentration as for younger people, again, because they need that immune boost. We used to have to give two flu shots mm-hmm. a couple weeks apart to get that booster. Now it's all in one mm-hmm. for seniors. And we did mention the live virus versus these are killed viruses. Mm-hmm. There is a nasal spray, but it is a weakened live virus. Mm-hmm. So if you're caring for somebody, say, with cancer, you sure don't want to have a nasal spray that could expose you to a live virus. Mm-hmm. So, and it's not indicated for seniors.
That is really good to note.
Mm-hmm.
Really good to note. So you want to make sure that when you're talking about getting this, that you let whoever is giving you that particular nasal spray, if you are a caregiver, that you care for seniors, so you make mm-hmm. sure you don't get that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't be afraid to speak up.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you're getting the right thing. Yeah, that's really good to note, and I clearly did not know that either. So good information there. So I wanted to ask, so as a weakened immune system, mm-hmm. it actually is really important because you are going to be more prone to potentially get the flu. So you do want to mm-hmm. make sure you're covered with a flu shot.
Mm-hmm. Well, it just protects you. It's another level of protection mm-hmm. against the possibility of catching the flu.
Right, mm-hmm. right. So we talked, you mentioned something that I did not know was available. I think it's pretty cool, is the pneumonia shot.
Mm-hmm.
So does the pneumonia shot protect you against all types of pneumonia, or how does that work?
That's probably the most common question, because the pneumonia shot protects you against pneumococcal pneumonia.
Okay, I don't even know what that is.
I'm going to tell you. Lucky for you.
Good.
You. It's the most common community-acquired pneumonia, the most common that you would get outside of a hospital.
Okay.
It's strep pneumoniae, And you say, oh, strep. Mm-hmm. Is that like a strep throat? Mm-hmm. Well, strep pyogenes causes a strep throat. Again, you're seeing we're talking about different strains,
right,
of different, slightly different bacteria, mm-hmm, and viruses causing slightly different things.
Because I did not think pneumonia was contagious. I thought pneumonia was something that happened after you had maybe a cold or an infection for over a long period of time, mm-hmm, that caused the actual pneumonia. But it is. This is an actual contagious pneumonia?
Well,
or did
remember,
I misunderstand?
See, you've got, and you've got Legionella pneumonia, you've got aspiration pneumonia, walking pneumonia, you have influenza pneumonia.
Oh my goodness.
That's what can kill people.
Right.
That's why you get the, mm-hmm, influenza shot.
We need a pneumonia chart with like names on it.
They're big words, though.
Big words, big words, which I would not even attempt to pronounce, mm-hmm, as Dr. Pam so eloquently did. So, okay, so you need a pneumonia shot to protect you against
pneumococcal
pneumonia. Okay.
But, of course, nothing's that easy.
All right.
It's more complicated.
Because
up until a certain time, we only had one pneumonia shot.
Okay.
Called Pneumovax. Mm-hmm. It protected against 23 different strains of pneumococcal pneumonia. Mm. Now we have Prevnar 13, mm-hmm, which is some different, slightly different strains, different levels of inoculation. And some people say, well, I already had the Pneumovax way back when. Do I need the new one? If you've never had a pneumonia shot, then they're recommending the Prevnar 13 and 2 months later, the Pneumovax.
Okay.
But there's 5 pages on what to do if you had this one but not that one. And the other thing that complicates things is a lot of times people are getting these shots everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, so did I get it while I was in the hospital? Did I get it at the doctor's office? Did I get it when I went in to the urgent care?
Did I get it at the drugstore?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you would think that all of these places would be able, with all of our, you know, we can send someone to the moon, mm-hmm, but we can't have these computers all talk. And it would be nice, mm-hmm, if we could have everything in a central database.
You know, honestly, it's up to you. Mm-hmm. You really need to keep track,
right,
of what you've had done when and where.
Yeah.
Because, yes, you have different electronic medical records and, mm-hmm, systems and... Yeah. And face it, we change doctors,
mm-hmm, yeah,
because our insurance changes, so we have, mm-hmm, to change doctors. So our records are scattered.
Yes, mm-hmm, absolutely. So keeping track
and
of
we'll
that.
Have people come in and say, well, I got a shot. I don't know what it was. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it was the flu shot. Oh, well, it might have been, I don't know what it was for. Well, I had, mm-hmm, it over at that, well, I don't know. And they, mm-hmm, really don't know, mm-hmm, what they got, when they got it, and where they got it. I had a shot in the hospital, and so I know our medical assistant in the office has become a detective at times. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, you know, if you get an injection, if you get a vaccine, mm-hmm, write it down. Mm-hmm. You know, have the person that is giving it to you write it down. Put, mm-hmm, it in your purse, put it in your wallet, and that way you can share that information with your provider so it becomes part of your medical records. Mm-hmm. So that if you do change physicians, it's part of your living documents so that you can share that. Mm-hmm. You don't want to get it again.
I was going to say, is it very harmful if you accidentally get it more than once?
No, really,
okay,
really, we haven't seen any problems,
okay,
with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of it might be your insurance won't pay for it. They'll say, wait, you got this last year. And that,
okay,
might be a stopgap, you
okay,
know, to keep you from getting it.
Okay. So do the pneumonia, what you're talking about, mm-hmm, here, is this something that's more specifically for seniors, or is this something that anybody and everybody should consider getting, or...
It is offered to younger people, especially those with chronic medical conditions.
Okay.
It's given to kids,
yeah,
too.
It is.
Okay.
So, but again, it's as we get older, we just don't think about getting shots.
Right. Okay. So going back to a little bit about keeping track of all of these, mm-hmm, things, is there, when you go to visit different doctor's offices, is there a way to just get to hand carry your medical records from place to place, even if you go to like a CVS to get a shot? Are they able to give you something that you can walk out with and put that in a medical record? So every time you go visit somewhere different, your regular physician, the hospital, if you go to the hospital, you can hand carry different items.
Yeah, we really appreciate that. Just here's your list of meds, here's your list of medical illnesses, your list of surgery, your list of doctors, and your list of immunizations.
And even to hand carry like a little journal, maybe, especially ladies, and they're, you know, when you're getting shots and things like that, if you can like kind of keep track of things that are going on, at least you have, you know, something you've written down, even if you're not able to get that handwritten or the official record of things that were done. I know that's sometimes hard to keep track of, but that's not a bad idea either.
And I've recommended that individuals keep it, you know, put it on your computer. Update it. If you have had an injection or your medications change, or if you've had a reaction to something, put that in your allergies. And so it becomes a living document. You hit print, and when you go to the doctor, there you go. And or if you're going into, heaven forbid, you're having to go into the hospital or something, have it accessible, and it becomes, you know, keep it updated.
Yeah, a little file icon on your computer, and that way it's easier than coming in with pieces of paper with scratches out.
And let someone in your family know it's there. That's huge, because otherwise it doesn't do much good if you have to go as in an emergency type situation. So I think that's a really great idea. So the other thing that we talked about is we talked about shingles. So I actually had shingles back when I was a teenager, and they were in the middle of my back, so I couldn't even scratch them. And I just remember going, oh my gosh, somebody shoot me. But I've never I have not had them since, but I've also never had a shingle shot. So what is the deal with the shingles? Because I haven't, I've done zero research on this.
Okay. The shingles are herpes zoster, which is a scary name for people. It doesn't sound right.
Not so much.
But it's basically the chicken pox virus. If you had chicken pox as a little kid, that virus is still sitting in your body, kind of around your spinal cord. Now, if you look at how does a spinal cord work, well, picture an empty pine tree with the little branches sticking out of on either side. The nerves are those little branches, and they wrap around your body like somebody giving you a hug from behind. At some point, and whatever triggers shingles, we see it in spring and fall, and we see it in people who have had severe stress or another medical illness. The virus reactivates, and it follows that branch around that nerve. So it might creep around your stomach, it might creep around your upper back, it might creep around your face and hit your ear and your eye, might go down your leg. Generally, it stays on one side following one nerve root, but it causes such inflammation and blisters and pain and itching, and it does nerve damage so that you can have, big word, post-herpetic neuralgia.
It's awful.
Nerve pain from the virus.
I did have a friend that got it in his eye, and there was a lot of concern that it would be permanent damage. Now, he did do okay, but he looked like from out of a Disney movie, you know, like one of the, hunchback type characters. It was bad. But I, you know, I didn't know anything about it back then because it was years ago. It was before shingles. There were shingle shots, and people, it was just something that was an anomaly at the time to me anyway. So do you recommend that everyone get a shingle shot? Is that something that's for everyone, or basically more senior related?
Right now we're doing more senior related, I guess, because that's part of our focus.
Okay.
There was a shingle shot called Zostavax, and it was effective about 50% of the time. The new one is Shingrix.
Okay.
And it has over 90% effectiveness.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's a two-step process. You get one shot, then you get the booster a couple of months later. And the old Zostavax, that was, again, a live virus at the time. So okay. Now we've kind of switched to the newer version.
So once you get it, are you one and done, or do mm-hmm. you have to do it every year?
No, one and done.
One and done.
Well, except it's two and done.
Right, exactly. But once you have your shingles, then you shot don't have to worry mm-hmm. about it. Okay, that's good to know.
But it doesn't mean you will never get shingles. Mm-hmm. It just lessens the possibility of you getting it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Does it lessen the effect if you do get them, where it's not as severe?
That's what they're saying.
Yeah. Okay.
Too. And if you had shingles years ago, you can still get this shot.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Because you can get shingles more than once.
I have heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not going to be fun. Mm-hmm. Well, believe it or not, ladies, we are going to take a break because we are at our halfway mark. And then we'll come back and we'll talk about the hepatitis vaccine.
Parish Healthcare, we believe in our community. We believe in keeping our community safe. We believe in the art of healing. We believe in healing patients, healing families, healing communities. We believe in the best and brightest working together for the common good. At Parish Healthcare, our team focuses on you as an individual because every life is a work of art to us. Parish Healthcare, where the art of healing comes to life. Visit parishhealthcare.com/healthaware for a free health risk assessment.
Hey, Mom, how's retirement home search coming?
Oh, my gosh. I'm just so stressed out. I don't even know where to begin.
Well, why are you so stressed? What's the matter?
I don't know where to find anything. I just need everything in, like, one place and know what all the options are.
Does the idea of searching for senior housing seem overwhelming? And you just aren't sure where to even begin? SeniorLivingGuide.com has great news for you. We offer a one-stop solution to take the stress out of your senior housing search. At SeniorLivingGuide.com, both our statewide Florida edition book and website are created to make your senior housing search very easy for you to navigate. We provide details on communities, including retirement, assisted living, skilled nursing, memory care, and home health, allowing you to decide which best fits your needs and then connecting you directly with those communities. Visit us online at SeniorLivingGuide.com. And start your search today and start de-stressing.
At Parish Healthcare, we believe every life is poetry in motion, motivated by strength and determination. As your bone, muscle, and joint healthcare partners, we believe in blending the art of healing with the science of medicine to keep your body in motion. We believe in healing patients, healing families, and healing communities. For a free orthopedic health assessment, visit parishhealthcare.com/ortho-aware. Parish Healthcare, where the art of healing comes to life.
Welcome back, ladies. So let's talk a little bit about the hepatitis vaccine. So there's two types of vaccines. Well, I guess there's one type of vaccine for two types of hepatitis. Is that correct, or did I just get that wrong?
No, there's three different types of hepatitis.
Oh, okay.
Now, hepatitis A mm-hmm. is the one that is more foodborne. It's somebody with contaminated hands who has hepatitis. Mm. They're fixing your salad.
Okay.
And that gets you exposed to hepatitis A. So mm-hmm. Janet and I were talking yeah. about your son.
Yeah, my son works in food care. I mean, mm-hmm. he's a server. Mm-hmm. And they actually gave all the employees a hepatitis A vaccine, which I thought was very impressive.
Yes.
And it wasn't mm-hmm. because anyone at the restaurant, it was in a preventative measure. When he was hired, he got the vaccine.
That is a good restaurant. I'm going to mm-hmm. get the name of that mm-hmm. restaurant after this podcast.
I mm-hmm. was very impressed.
Yes, that's
now,
impressive.
The hepatitis B is for healthcare workers.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, years ago when I started working in healthcare, I had the hepatitis B vaccine
because mm-hmm. mm-hmm. that's transferred through blood body fluids.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're exposed to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's protecting us.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Mm-hmm. You said there were three.
And that's even though I'm not, I mean, as a social worker, I'm not necessarily going to be exposed to blood products, but you never know. It was mm-hmm. to protect mm-hmm. me.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, better safe than sorry.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yes, because you never know.
Yeah. So we have the vaccines to Hep A and Hep B.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They are saying, because we're seeing more hepatitis C, that people over 50 could get a blood test to see if they have it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they could get treatment for that, because that's kind of a silent mm-hmm. disease.
So what is hepatitis C?
It's just what it sounds like. It's hepatitis means, itis always means inflammation, mm-hmm. HEPA, liver. So an inflammation and damage to the liver
okay.
caused by this virus.
Okay. So there's no vaccine for it or immunization, but there's treatment.
There is treatment.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Hmm. So is there any signs that might give people the impression they may have hepatitis C?
Most of the time, no.
Okay.
It's discovered either mm-hmm. on blood work to check liver function or okay. they have
So they test for it?
They
on just in routine blood work?
No, not specifically.
Okay.
You need a specific hepatitis C test. Okay. But if you have abnormalities in your liver function testing,
okay.
we will be looking for all types of hepatitis along with other diseases that can affect
okay.
the liver.
So that would be the what would tag a test for it. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So yeah. I was just trying to understand that because mm-hmm. I don't know really anything about hepatitis.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't done a lot of research on that.
Yet.
Yes, yes, exactly. So, you know, you learn a little bit. So people that are in high risk groups mm-hmm. For these types of hepatitis, should they be, you know, mm-hmm. getting tested or be asked to be tested?
Yes, most of the time, doctors say you're in a clinic and you're taking care of people, mm-hmm. homeless people or people who are IV drug abusers, mm-hmm. Or actually, you know, people who are a missionary to a country where there's going to be a lot of hepatitis,
mm-hmm.
then those are folks who might want to talk to their provider and say, hey, I don't know if you knew this about me, but, mm-hmm. oh, that puts you at high risk for hepatitis. You need the hepatitis shots.
Okay.
Most of our seniors don't routinely
get
either of these.
Okay. So it's not something you should really be requesting mm-hmm. a list. Okay. So older people in vaccines, so a little bit about, you know, older people remember when, you know, children, they died from measles and mm-hmm. polio, whooping cough and all these different things. So what are your thoughts as far as older people that had vaccines back in the day and, you know, that type of thing?
I think most of our older patients saw the miracle mm-hmm. that came from the polio vaccine
mm-hmm.
and diphtheria and pertussis vaccines, and they're amazed, like I am, mm-hmm. of wow, now we can yeah. prevent these diseases
right.
that killed our next door neighbor. So I think they're usually more open to, yeah, bring it on, give me the pneumonia shot, give
right.
me the shingles shot, because I understand protecting myself.
Right.
And Janet, you were talking about concerns about people, the kids
that are not immunizing their children. Are we
mm-hmm.
going to, I asked our trainer, I said, do you think that we're going to have a recurrence of some of these diseases?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we will.
Yeah, that would not completely surprise
you know.
Me because it is becoming a growing trend
mm-hmm.
of people choosing not to do that.
Yeah. And you have a lot of international travel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know,
we talked about our smallpox vaccination. Well, there's only little pockets of smallpox in very specific areas of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go and travel and mm-hmm. you're there, you know, in theory, you mm-hmm. could be
yeah.
exposed to it.
I mean, if you're traveling to those areas as a missionary, you're going to get certain, you have to have certain shots, if
mm-hmm.
you will, to travel there as a missionary,
mm-hmm.
Or even to go on a trip.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, a friend of my son's went a couple of years ago to safari
mm-hmm.
in Africa, and there were certain shots that she had to have before she went.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's certain things that are required,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know that they're required to come back into the country.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But and you're going to see that in more the Department of Health. Your doctor isn't mm-hmm. going to have mm-hmm. these kind of shots in their office.
Right.
No.
So you can look up Department of Health. You can look up travel vaccines
mm-hmm.
I need.
Mm-hmm.
And they will tell you exactly
yeah.
where are you going? What do you need?
Yeah. I know the military is up to date when they're sending mm-hmm. folks overseas. They get all kinds of, my mm-hmm. husband was military and he would get shots that I'm like, in shots that I've never even heard of. Mm-hmm. So going to different countries and things like that. So so other shots that people, not necessarily, you know, immunizations, but allergy shots. Mm-hmm. They're super important for seniors to get. Allergies can be real boogers.
Mm-hmm.
And they can really cause, you know, a lot of, they can be miserable when you get allergies. So what do you need to look for in getting your allergy shots and reactions that you may have to them and that type of thing?
Well, we're kind of crossing into two different areas here.
Okay.
But again, it's your immune system. After little kids, older people are more prone to nasal allergies than other folks because of the immune system changes. So yes, we have people who say, oh, now my nose is running all the time, I feel congested. Yeah. And that causes inflammation in your upper respiratory system. So you may become more prone to the infection because it's easier for it to get a grip into your nose and mucous membranes. Mm-hmm. Now, to treat allergies, you know, we like to use antihistamines, but the non-drowsy type, you know. And again, read the label. People are shocked that a lot of the over-the-counter allergy products have diphenhydramine, Benadryl, so it makes them sleepy. I also often say get the brand name.
Yes.
And give that a try. The steroid nasal sprays are great. The allergy shots are usually given by an allergist or an ENT, and it's kind of on the basis of our preventive shots. They're giving you a little bit of what you're allergic to build up your tolerance and your response so you won't have a horrible allergic reaction.
So I think that's really interesting, something you said, which I didn't know either. I'm learning so much today. So I have really never had allergies. Never, ever, ever. Well, I've just started having them. And I'm like, but I've never had allergies. So I talk myself out of the fact that it's an actual allergy. But I'm starting to have them. So what you're basically saying is, as you age, you may start having allergies that maybe you didn't as a younger person. And it can actually be, you can actually get infections from the allergies?
No, just it weakens.
Weakens your immune system.
Yeah, your immune system is down, and also it's causing inflammation.
Inflammation, okay.
In your upper respiratory tract.
And there's also
different
parts of the country that have different, say it's a respiratory allergy. You know, we don't have oak down here. Certain areas of the country have different things growing.
Right.
So, you know, when I lived in Tennessee, there were certain pollens that I was allergic to. I moved down here, I don't have them because they're not down here.
Right.
So, you know, seasonal allergies are a big, big thing. So be aware of, you know, they'll say move to Arizona, you know, the air's different, and that, and you know, it's you got to know your body.
Right.
And you also need to know how the allergy affects your body.
Very interesting.
And that's all external. We also have to look in our houses. My husband owns an antique store. I love antiques. And when my kids visit, somebody said, what's your mom's house look like? They said, it looks like an antique store without price tags, which means I've got a lot of things that have dust.
Yes.
So when we treat allergies, we also say clean the ducts, get the dust out, go under the sink, look for mold, because you could be allergic to that. Get an air cleaner. That's all those things. And but, you know, you mentioned the word allergy triggered something to me. There are people who are allergic to these shots.
Okay.
You know, they have a reaction, a true, they get hives or they get upper airway, the swelling in the face. The oldest one, I think, is the tetanus shots were horse serum. And people would say, I'm allergic to horse serum. You don't hear that so much. If you have a true allergy to eggs, not just I eat an egg and it upsets my stomach, but I eat an egg and my face blows up and I get hives, then no, you can't get these shot, that particular shot. The flu shot is the big one with eggs.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting.
In
yeah. Okay.
And they will ask you, are you allergic to eggs? Before they will give you the flu shot. They being the individuals that are giving the shots, that's one of the things. And you have to sign that you're not allergic to eggs.
So is there irritation? Is there irritation at the site? Is that something that's a reaction as well? Or is it just basically the swelling of like the face and things like that?
Kind of a little of both. I mean, a lot of people get swelling just because of the irritation of the shot. But if you start getting hives, which are like red, like the size of a quarter spreading on your arm. That's a true allergy. Yeah. If it spreads to the rest of your body, definitely a true allergy.
Okay.
And of course, if your face starts swelling, your lips and tongue start swelling, you need emergency medical care.
You need emergency care.
Immediately, and never take anything in that class of injections. Again, so some people tell me, I can't get a tetanus shot.
Right.
Because this happened to me.
So if you just break out in the hives, but you don't do that, can you take a Benadryl? Will that help? Would that be a solution?
That's exactly what we recommend. Take some kind of antihistamine. Mm-hmm. You know, you might want to call for help anyway, because
it could get worse.
Because it could get worse. Have somebody with you,
right,
watching you, say, hey, I'm having a reaction to this.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of leads to another thing. We talked about keeping records.
You definitely want to keep that record.
You want to keep that record. But we have many people who say, well, I'm allergic to, so let's say, penicillin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, what happens to you? Well, I don't know. My mother told me I was allergic. Or we need to know, especially antibiotics, because if you end up in the ICU with pneumonia and we need a specific antibiotic and it says you're allergic to it, we need to know, well, did it make you sick to your stomach? Well, I can fix that. I'll just give you something for nausea and hang this antibiotic.
Right.
Or did it make your face swell up? Well, there's no way we're going to compromise you.
Yeah. Right.
So again, those records and be specific.
I think some people are afraid of things specifically like penicillin because maybe they don't even know that they're actually allergic, but because their mother... Because I've heard that before. Oh. I don't know that I am, but my mom was allergic, so I'm afraid I'm allergic, so I haven't ever had it. And I avoid it because she was allergic, and I think it might I might be, because it could be hereditary. I don't want to risk it. So I think that actually, because I've actually heard that more than once.
I've heard it too.
Okay.
Yeah. I've heard it too.
Yeah. So they don't even really know. But they don't want to risk it. So, yeah. So I think that that's interesting. And the fact that, you know, you need to be careful on... when you do get treated for those allergy shots, what signs to look for, and really how to treat those allergy shots. So far I'm just using, like, you know, the nasal quart, I think, kind of works a little bit, but I'm just powering through allergies. But so far they're not so terrible that I need a shot, which is good, which is good stuff. So,
yeah. A lot of people will use the nasal rinses. It's a salt water nasal spray, the old neti pot, but now they have the little squeeze bottle that kind of flushes out your sinuses. A lot of people are using a lot of like natural products and supplements that they're trying to protect themselves through the wintertime.
And what it does is it just cleans it out. It just, you know, it reduces your risk, cleans it out, and you can breathe better.
And all honestly, that's all you want, because if you're not breathing, it also causes headaches. So if you can just breathe and reduce your headache, I think you're happy. I mean, I think that just creates a better, otherwise you're just miserable.
Yeah, Jenna, what do you take something during the fall and winter?
I take Claritin. I use the brand name. I've tried the generic, and it just doesn't work for me. So I use Claritin, and it works. It has prevented, knock on wood, any sinus infections. And, you know, because I am prone to bronchitis. If I get a severe sinus infection, it will turn into bronchitis. That's me personally. So I have to, and I have allergies to perfumes and scented lotions and candles and that sort of thing.
And there's more of those around, aren't there?
Oh, absolutely.
And you can't avoid them.
Well, I have learned to avoid them. I've gotten up at church and moved. I've gotten up at movie theaters and moved. People in my life know that I have allergies to them. I have taken care of myself. And it's not in a rude way. It's in taking care of me. You know, and people have respected me and saying, you know, I'm sorry, I'm gonna have to move. I don't say you move, you know, and because I just don't. I avoid perfume counters at the department stores and this sort of thing. The inserts in magazines.
Oh, I forgot about
those. Those will do it for me.
You know,
and musky stuff.
Yeah,
musky stuff will hit a migraine with me.
Yeah,
sometimes.
But I mean, and it's just, I will seal up. I can't breathe. I mean, it is, it's severe reaction. Know your body, know what it does to you, and protect yourself. Avoidance and early treatment of the, you know, of just taking care of it sometimes can avoid doing that. I know it used to be that if you went into a doctor's office, if you didn't leave with a prescription to treat something, you felt like you'd wasted your copay. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, to stay away from, we use too many antibiotics, and now there's resistance to that. Not that antibiotics aren't good. I don't want to say mm-hmm. that. But mm-hmm. if you can keep your system working and the allergies and this sort of thing, by all means. Mm-hmm, but if mm-hmm. you need to go to the doctor and the doctor's going to treat you, the doctor mm-hmm. is going to treat you with that, by all means, they're going to mm-hmm. tell you what you need mm-hmm. and listen to the doctor.
Yeah.
Trust
yeah.
your doctor and have that relationship mm-hmm. there.
Yeah.
And we're going to jump in a little earlier mm-hmm. for our folks, say, who have emphysema.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're not going to let that person just try to fight it off on their mm-hmm. own for
no.
a few days. Mm-hmm. We might start the antibiotics right away.
Mm-hmm.
So again, speak up and say, well, maybe I don't need antibiotics today, but if it's worse, I might need them tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, work with your doctor to tell them what you want, what you need. Some people will tell me what antibiotic works best for them.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's appropriate, then, okay, mm-hmm. that's the one we pick. If I have two yeah. choices, that's what we'll go with.
Yeah.
I think at the end of the day, it's really important to have a good relationship with your doctor.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So find a really good doctor that you can have that relationship with, that you feel like you can talk to and open up with, that has empathy and can, that you can build, I don't want to say a personal relationship, because mm-hmm. you can have a little bit of that, but where you feel very confident and comfortable, and then when you go in, they already know what you've talked about the last time you've been in there, mm-hmm. and you feel like you can really confide in them, and that's an ongoing relationship.
It is.
I think mm-hmm. it's just really important to be able to do that. So really, really good notes today. So mm-hmm. all right, ladies, that is the end of our episode today. Can mm-hmm. you believe it? It just flew by so fast. So thank you so much for joining us on this podcast episode, and we will be back again in December for some more episodes for this 2020 holiday season.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.